everybody, this is Mike Van Meter, and this episode of Recovery is Possible is brought to you by Retreat Behavioral Health, where there are endless possibilities for recovery. Retreat provides quality care at their leading mental health and substance use treatment centers, which are designed to offer patients truly personalized and comprehensive programs that are tailored to their needs. Retreat Substance Use and Mental Health Treatment Centers in Palm Beach County, Florida, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and New Haven, Connecticut do everything in their power to ensure that patients receive the highest quality treatment in a safe and comfortable setting. So reach out today at retreatbehavioralhealth.com or call at 855-802-6600 for more information. And today, folks, I want to talk about what it takes for you to be sober again. I mean, it seems to be a recurring theme and a topic, but it's kind of appropriate on a show like this where we're talking about recovery and what you can do to get yourself and others sober from drugs and alcohol, and also from the process addictions, which are those things that you don't put into your body, but you can still become addicted to, such as food, gaming, gambling, sex, your little phone that you probably got in your hand right now, those types of things. Those are known as process addictions. But, you know, how do we get sober? You know, really, what does it come down to? And one of the issues that I wanted to discuss today is this issue of why we get sober, because our why will drive whether or not we actually get on that path to recovery. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, all too often, I'm working with patients that come into our treatment center, and they tell me that they relapse because, you know, their wife left them, their children won't speak to them, they lost their job, their parents are on their back, whatever the case may be, they suffered a death in the family or some other tragic incident. And folks, I'm here to tell you right now, that's not why you relapse. That is not why you relapse, or that's not why you start beginning the use in the first place. The reason why you relapse is because, quite frankly, you have the disease of addiction. That's what it is. It is that simple. And here's why I say that. Because today, in your mind, you might say, it's because my wife is mad at me. I don't like her. She's mean to me. She left me. She did these things to me. But that's just today's reason. Because the fact is that if that wasn't happening, it would be something else. It would be the dog died, somebody in your life died, your team lost the football game, whatever the case may be. It's always something else. It's always something external. And as long as our reason for using is external to us, then we're always going to find an external thing to relapse to. And that's the myth that we have to smash in this. That is the myth that must be smashed. You get you sober. No one else gets you sober. No one else causes you to drink or drug. You put it into your body. Now, this might sound simple on one hand, but it's actually rather complicated, because people, even in long-term recovery, struggle with this issue. I mean, after all, if you go for years of being sober and then relapse, it usually is some event, some big tragic event that will lead you down that path to using again. And I mean, after all, people that come into treatment centers don't sit around and go, my life was going so well, I decided to start using fentanyl, because I just couldn't take my life going as well as it was. That's not how it works. People will come in and they will say that something tragic happened in their life. For example, a death in their family, which I just experienced recently. And people will say that's the reason why they're using again. And that's what gets us unsettled. Now, let me break this down here a little bit, okay? Because maybe it'll make more sense this way. What we have is the disease of addiction, the disease, meaning that genetically, we, the people with addiction, process alcohol and drugs differently than other people. It's processed, literally processed in our bodies differently. Now, when you get into the synthetic drugs, like fentanyl, for example, these are synthetic man-made drugs which are designed to operate on the recesses of your brain, the internal mechanisms of your brain. And that's why it's so highly addictive, and why, please, if you are using fentanyl, you need to stop. You must stop, because it was designed to target the recesses of your brain. But having said that, we have addictive personalities, we have addictive traits, and it's genetic and it runs in families. So we have that going against us, okay? But it's also a disease of the mind. It's as much a disease of the mind as it is the disease of the body. And because it's the only disease that tells us that we don't have it. In other words, it's a form of mental illness, to be honest with you. It's something that our brain tells us that we can go back to using despite all evidence, despite everything that we know in our past, where we understand that if we use it will destroy us, but yet we go back and do it anyway. And we see that every day. We see that every single day with addicts. We see it in the hospital. You know, after all, if you're on your 9th, 10th, 15th DUI and that punishment didn't work, it's not going to work because your brain takes over. You're not feeling the pain of what has happened with you, the jail time, the fines, the lawyer's fees, all of those, you know, the broken families. If that's not getting you to stop, it's not going to stop. The punishment's not going to get you to stop. Okay, what will get you to stop is you will get you to stop in understanding that this is a disease of the mind and the body and that it is not going to go away. It's not going to. So what's the answer to that? We don't use under any circumstances, no matter what it is, no matter what the problem is, no matter how bad our life situation is, we don't use. Because if we use, it will only make whatever bad situation we are in worse, exponentially worse. Any situation, you can name any situation, and drinking and drugging will make that situation worse. And until we understand that to the core of our soul, to the core of our very being, we're not going to get well. So what does all this mean? All this means is you get you sober. We don't get sober for other people, and we don't use because of other people. And I hope that that makes sense to you. Now, what will happen is, you know, you will work with people in treatment and they will inherently understand that. In fact, a lot of times in a treatment scenario, I'll be talking to a patient and they will tell me this. I'll say, what does it take for you to get sober? Oh, well, I need to make a decision to get sober and I need to do that. I need to go to meetings. I need to get a sponsor. I need to do all the things that we've talked about. But yet they will still come back and say, well, I drink because my wife left me. You know, it is something, when I say that it goes to your core, it has to be to that where you not only go from that mentally understanding this concept, but believing it to your very soul. And in fact, the culmination of any recovery program is really a physical, spiritual, metaphysical metamorphosis of your entire being, meaning you completely think differently about this whole subject. In fact, you start to think very differently about life. Now, but what is going on in our bodies? You know, what is going on in our bodies? You know, we get to the point in recovery where we get on this path where we get into a form of equilibrium in our life, meaning we've developed our spiritual life. We've developed our physical being, you know, because we've spent so many years abusing our bodies with drugs and alcohol. And then we stop doing that. We start taking care of ourselves, where we're eating properly, we're sleeping well, we are hydrating, we're doing all those things that we need to do to take care of our bodies. We're working on our relationships. We're repairing those things. And it takes time to do that. You know, after years and years of use, when you get into sobriety, you know, these things aren't going to happen overnight. It's going to take a period of time. But you get into sobriety and then things are going well. You're feeling well. You're sleeping well. Your job is taking off. Your relationships are taking off. Your family life is taking off. And then something happens. Then there's that bump in the road. Let's just say somebody dies in your family, somebody close to you, somebody dies. And then that equilibrium that we have developed has just now just been thrown off track. And it is a massive devastation to our equilibrium and our way of living that we're just completely thrown out of whack. And we feel that pain that goes to your soul. And you are hurting so bad that you want to have that relief right now. You want to have that relief right now. And that's when you turn to drugs and alcohol, because way back in the day, in your early drinking or drugging career, that thing, let's just take alcohol for example, that thing seemed to work for you. It relieved that pain for a period of time. And that's the key. It may relieve it temporarily, It may relieve it shortly, but it is not long-lived. And you set off that biochemical process, that progression of the disease. You rekindled that disease. You reignited it, and then it starts to take off because your brain says, hey, this is working for us. It's working for us. This is good. It relieved the pain. But remember, addiction is progressive, and it progresses over a period of time. It gets worse over a period of time. It always gets worse, and it never gets better. There are no exceptions to that, and you won't be the first exception to that. It gets worse over a period of time and never better. And if you've gotten to the point where you are in recovery, you've likely experienced exactly what I'm talking about. And it will get worse and worse and worse. And then your problems will be worse than what you had when you came to recovery the first time. It happens every single time. Okay? But what happened? Well, what happened was we allowed ourselves to get so overwhelmed and out of that equilibrium, and we didn't prepare for that day. And I think that that's important for it. You know, these bad things that happen in life, really, I hate to say it, but are going to happen to all of us at some point. If you live long enough, people in your life are going to die. People lose jobs. People are disappointed. Relationships can be tough. All those things. You know, for some reason, with people that are addicts, we think that this happens to other people. It's not going to happen to me. It happens to other people. Well, no, it happens to everybody. The problem is we've learned to cope with these things by using drugs or alcohol as opposed to learning to live life on life's terms, dealing with the cards that we have been dealt. And those cards include death. It includes job losses. It includes other forms of disappointment and anger and sadness. And we have to learn to deal with those. And because we have that addicted brain, we want immediate satisfaction, meaning I don't feel good, I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel hurt, and I want this to be relieved right now. Right now. I don't want to wait. I don't want it to take a week. I don't want it to take a month. I don't want to take 6 months to grieve the loss of someone. I want to feel better right now. Well, that's just not reality. That's not life. And what we do is we look for that immediate satisfaction only to have things turn very, very, or much worse than they were originally. And that's something that we have to be on guard for. And I remember my sponsor early on said to me, Mike, you got to get ready for game day. You know, you're doing that repetition. You're working on that. You're getting ready for the big day. Just like the baseball player that's throwing that pitch over and over and over, you know, thousands of pitches to practice for that game day to throw it that one time, or you're the quarterback that's practicing over and over and over, getting ready for the game. Well, that's what we do in recovery, is we're practicing these principles over and over. That's why we go to so many meetings. That's why we get up every morning. We do our meditation. We do our prayer. We read our literature. We go to meetings. We work with others. We learn as much as we can about the disease of addiction and drill it into our mind that we cannot safely drink or drug under any circumstances. So when game day happens, i.e. that losing the loved one, losing the job, having whatever happens to us happen, then we are ready for that. We are prepared for that. And we get through that situation without using. And it does work. I know it works. It's worked in my own life. I can tell you, folks, looking back on it, I probably have experienced more trauma and tragedy in sobriety than I did when I was drinking. Much more tragedy in sobriety than I did while I was drinking. And it can be done. And I was just so blessed to have a sponsor early on that drilled those concepts into my brain that you have to be ready. You have to be ready for that. Always practice the, you know, this is what happens and this is where you go. It's kind of like, you know, when I was in the Navy and I flew helicopters in the Navy and in flight school, we were always training that way, always training. That when something happens, a fire light comes on, a low engine oil light comes on, things like that, you have that emergency, but immediately you have those immediate action steps. This happens, here's what you do. And then once you get through the immediate actions, then you go and break out the checklist and then go through the checklist and deal with the other procedures to get through that particular situation. And then once you've gone through the checklist, you're seeking help and guidance from others. And that's exactly what we do in recovery. those immediate action items that we do. This is how we react, and then we seek guidance from others. And you can get through these things. You can, but we must dispel that notion that we drink and drug because these situations happen to us. You know, the only way I can put it is that these situations are not unique to us. If you know people, people have friends and family that have died, people close to them. It happens. People lose jobs. People have all these things happen to them. They don't drink over them. There's many people that go through these situations and don't drink or drug over those things. But because we have the addictive brain, because we have that disease of addiction, that is always our go-to. But we have to be aware of it. And when you're aware of it and you put it up front in your mind, that's why when you go to AA meetings and you introduce yourself and you might say, "Hi, I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic." Well, the reason why that's put out there like that, "Hi, I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic," is to keep in the forefront of your mind that that's the presenting problem. That's your issue right there. You got it, and you cannot deny it. It is there. Your history has proven it. The experiences that you've had going through it, that has proven that you are an alcoholic or an addict. And once you realize that that's the primary problem, and that any drugs or alcohol put in your body will make that problem much worse, and you let that sink in and you practice that over and over, then that's going to be the beginning of recovery. But as long as we keep making these things external and it's somebody else's problem, someone else is the problem, then it's unlikely that we're going to get well. And folks, this is really just a life hack. It really is. It is a way for us to take responsibility for our own actions. And it's not even related. I mean, you can relate it to aspects other than recovery, as a matter of fact. And that is that we must take the responsibility for our actions. And our recovery is something that we do for ourselves. In other words, you have to own your recovery. You own your recovery. Your recovery is no one else's responsibility. It is your responsibility, and you work it like your life depends on it, because the truth is your life actually does depend on it. And so that's just kind of a quick message that I wanted to put out today, because it's a theme that has been recurring now for about the past week or so with people I've been working with, and I wanted to put that out there. So that's the theme for today, is you own your recovery. You own it. And your life will get better, I promise you. It can't not get better. Guys, recovery is possible. It really is. You just keep working it. Do everything that is suggested. Follow people that have gotten into recovery. Do what they say. Do what they do. If they have had success in their own lives with recovery, and you practice the principles that they are practicing, find that mentor, find that sponsor, find that person that has had success. Do what they do, stick with the winners, and you'll get well, I promise you. So hey folks, this episode of Recovery is Possible is brought to you by Retreat Behavioral Health, where there are endless possibilities for recovery. Retreat provides quality care at their leading mental health and substance use treatment centers, which are designed to offer patients truly personalized and comprehensive programs that are tailored to their needs. Retreat Substance Use and Mental Health Treatment Centers in Palm Beach County, Florida, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and New Haven, Connecticut do everything in their power to ensure that patients receive the highest quality treatment in a safe and comfortable setting. So reach out today at retreatbehavioralhealth.com or call at 855-802-6600 for more information. You guys take care of yourselves. Recovery is possible, I promise you. Just keep working it. One day at a time, it'll get better. Take care.